Now, last week we spoke to Ireland international and West Ham goalkeeper Darren Roundel from Bray. We spoke about growing up in Bray, racism in sport, and the Black Lives Matter movement. I asked Darren about growing up in Bray.
Well, when I was growing up, well, I've realised obviously from an early age, I was probably the only mixed race person in all the schools that I was involved in, and even playing sports. You know, I never, to the best of my knowledge, now thinking back, I can never remember, you know, coming up against another black player, a mixed race player. You know, as a kid, you probably don't realise the severity of words used or comments made. And again, kids being kids, not knowing any better, you know, they may see it as a bit of fun if they get a reaction. It will continue, and I'll be here for a while, you know, recalling different instances. But yeah, definitely something that I faced growing up. It just was something that you had to kind of accept as being normal.
Were you expect to sort of take it, sure, Darren, it's only a bit of slagging, where are you going? You're very serious or something. If you actually raised some sort of, I don't know if you're brave enough to say objection, but if you raised some sort of, cut it out, lads, or something, would you be told that you're far too serious or something, and it would just be diminished?
You know, some people may stop, but then other people would, you know, stuff would be said to try and get under your skin and put you off, or just said in general, just seemed to be a thing to say because, you know, you weren't white.
And this is, you know, this is in an era when Ireland's favourite player is Paul McGrath, you know, when you were growing up.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's something I've thought about probably my whole career when I have faced racism and heard different things. You know, if somebody is famous and people's favourite player, like you said, using Paul McGrath as an example, you know, people would love him, but, you know, who's to say that those exact same people wouldn't go back out, you know, say something to another black person on the street.
Did you get any protection from the clubs as such, the management of the various clubs, GA or other club soccer or anything, you know, all through your career, you know, where people would know there'd be somebody maybe going, you know, singling you out in some way? Was anybody willing to protect players like you?
No, growing up, there wasn't. I was probably limited to what I could do on a football pitch to react, especially as being a goalkeeper. But certainly on the Gaelic pitch, I was able to try and dish out my own punishment if something was said. But for football and Gaelic, you know, it wasn't even just the players. There's numerous times, you know, there would have been parents on the sideline that would have made comments, obviously, that I could hear, and nothing was said. Maybe something was said, and then it wouldn't stop it. It may stop for 5 or 10 minutes. That'd be it. You just kind of carry on.
Things are improving now. I'm sort of talking against myself in a way, because there is Black Lives Matter, and the current movement came out of what happened in America, but the fact that it's being highlighted now would probably disprove what I'm saying in one way. But do you think, growing up, that the atmosphere you live in a more multicultural society, is it's better or worse?
I would like to think it's better, but it also takes time, probably, people to get used to the change. Educating. Again, I moved away when I was 15, obviously over to London, where it's much more multicultural. Don't get me wrong, doesn't mean there's no racism over here. You know, even when I moved here, going into the academy and where I was living in Southeast London, there was places I was told that you know, that were safe, and places I was told that weren't so safe. But I'd like to think, kind of with there being more and more kind of black Irish kids and different ethnic backgrounds, you know, in the country, that, you know, times are changing and people are becoming more educated, and that things are improving. But again, you'd only find it out over time.
Yeah. It's interesting what you say about, in Gaelic, with probably it's a closer contact sport, you could, you know, give as much as you got. You've got it verbally, you can give it physically and things like that. But of course, that's not the answer. The answer is recognition of everybody as being equal, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Obviously, back when I was playing Gaelic, I was probably, 13, 14 years old. So obviously at that age, kids don't, you know, it doesn't register that way in their brain. You know, people may mature and grow as they get older and have more interaction with, you know, people of different races. Views or ideas on people may change.
Back to the football, Darren and Mick McCarthy never got to finish the Euros. And now Stephen Kenny, the new boss, and a date has been set, of course, for that game in Slovakia. Do you know Stephen Kenny?
I know of him from, you know, what he's achieved, and obviously working with the 21s. We did have a conversation over Zoom a little while after we got the job, kind of as an introductory, you know, conversation, as we couldn't obviously meet up and train as a squad. Obviously now obviously the dates and everything have been set for the games, so I'm sure I'll be back in touch again. I know ideally you'd probably like to have a training camp for a few weeks with us, you know, before going into important games, but the way things are at the minute, that's not looking likely.
I was just thinking the other day, you know, when I was told that we'd have a conversation, I said, Bray and Darren, and there's Katie. Katie gave up being an international footballer to go with boxing, and in a similar way, basketball has lost you.
Yeah, I tried to juggle both of them growing up. You know, one weekend I'd go to Irish basketball training, and then the next weekend, if there was Irish football training, I'd go to that one. So, but in the end, it was too much. Then on top of that, was playing Gaelic and was playing for Wicklow underage as well, so I had quite a lot on my plate. So I had to drop Gaelic first, and then it was, you know, a sit down with the family and the parents to say, what's next, what do you want to do? Always wanted to go across to America and do what my little brother Neil did, which was go to high school and college on a basketball scholarship. At the time, I'd been across to England several times on trials to different clubs, so I just felt I had a better chance of making something of my life through sports, going down the football path, and so far so good.
Yeah, because you're an international basketball player, weren't you?
I was, played underage a few European tournaments, and we travelled to Scotland, Belgium, you know, France, a few places for some tournaments, so that was good. Nice. I obviously don't get to play as much as I used to. I'll have a little shoot around with my little brother in the summertime when I get back home, but it's very rare these days.
Yeah, I have to ask you then, did you look at The Last Dance on Netflix?
I was rushing back from my training sessions every Monday to catch the latest episodes that were released, so yeah.
I'd say, yeah, I thought it was amazing, because we all do. I don't know nothing about basketball, but I thought, you know, Michael Jordan, obviously, and the rest of the crew, just amazing, the skill and the speed, just fantastic.
Yeah, the skill, the speed, and again, you know, with basketball, you know, obviously watching on the telly, you know, you think, oh yeah, these guys are obviously quite tall, but for some of them to be, you know, 6'5", 6'6", 6'8", and, you know, the speed and the athleticism and the agility they have and the explosiveness that they do have is incredible. And then it gives you a small insight as well into, you know, team sports with all the different characters and the dynamics within the team, you know, that it actually can work. And then it gives you, you know, an insight into Michael Jordan and his mentality. And some people may not like him for it, but at the end of the day, he got that franchise, you know, a lot of success and recognition worldwide, and helped other players along the way improve and also, you know, win trophies and win silverware. So
yeah, he's definitely a winner. I think he's very rich as well. He's something like 4 billion or something he's worth, so there you go. That's the way. This has been fantastic talking to you, Darren. You're very good to give us your time. I know that building up for the games in the Premier League now that it's back has taken a lot of your time, and you're very good to spare us that time to have a chat today. So thank you very much indeed for that.
No, that's no problem. no problem at all. Anytime. I've enjoyed it.
And listen, I've only one thing to say. Ardmore Rovers are still looking for a pitch. You know, just looking for a home.
I've told I've been kept well informed with what's going on with Ardmore. I've had a few trips up to St. Killian's and I've been back in a few of the mornings to see the pitches, which is a shame because obviously when I was growing up, we used to train in St. Thomas's, then we went to Ballywaltrum. So it's quite sad to see that there's no kind of official training base or anywhere for the club, but hopefully something can be sorted and they have a home.
Darren Randolph, thank you very much indeed. Good morning to you. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Yes, indeed, Darren Randolph. We had a chat before the weekend, before the game West Ham and Wolves. Okay, nice guy, isn't he? Darren Randolph, and very open as well about the racism he suffered in Bray growing up. It's the morning show at East Coast, 0877 11 103.